The title of our message this morning is simply this: Living and Walking. Living and Walking. And you might say, well, what does that mean? Living and walking. I hope before this morning is over, you'll be excited about living and walking. Here's the first point. Living is having a life source. Walking is the movement and expression of your life. So if you're alive, you have a life source. And we know we're alive, but it's sort of intangible, isn't it? Like, I mean, how do you explain whether something's alive or not? You just know you're alive, and you know other things, whether they're alive or not alive. But living is having a life source. Walking is the movement and expression of that life as we move in our environment. Now follow me here, because this is really, really important. Galatians 5:25 says this: if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, we're made up of three parts. We have a body, a physical body. We also have a psyche. Psyche is the word that's translated soul. Psyche is our mind, our will, our emotions. So we have a body, we have a psyche, an inner person. But we also have a spirit. Now, here's what we need to see is that when we are born into this world, we do not have life in our spirit, because sin had snuffed that life out. The soul that sinned shall surely die. And so when people are born into this world, they are alive physically. They are alive in their psyche, but they are not alive in their spirit. Their spirit is dead. But God has come that we might have life, an abundant life. The abundant life is the life beyond the physical, beyond the psyche, the life of the spirit. And this brings us to our next point. Becoming a Christian is to receive the Holy Spirit and be born again. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's not just starting to attend a church, believing certain things, turning over a new leaf, trying to follow certain biblical practices. All those things are good within itself, but that's not what it means to be a Christian. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, you must be born again. He said, I'm not talking about a natural birth. I'm not talking about a physical birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. You must be born again. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Sin has killed our spirit. It's broken our connection with God. And so what the Lord has done, when you become a Christian, it's not all those things I mentioned. No, he puts his life within us. We come alive. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. It is transformative. It is completely different. It's not trying to remake your old life. He gives you a new life. And you become alive in the Spirit. Now, Romans 8:9 says, But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. So you see how important it is to receive the Holy Spirit, to be born again, to have new life. It is a matter of going from death to life. It's not, I had this way of life, so I'm going to make my flesh live better in this. No, you have a new life. The new life is in the Spirit. And thereafter, as he writes here, he says, you're not in the flesh. Well, they were in the flesh. They still had their flesh. But what he was saying to them, you're not driven by your flesh. You're not directed by your flesh. Your flesh is not dominating. That's not the leading force of your life. You're in the flesh, but you're really not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is in you. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Don't ever miss this. Don't be satisfied with anything less. Satan doesn't mind you going to church. He doesn't mind you start doing certain religious things as long as he can separate you from the life of God. It's his life that makes all the difference. How are you going to get into heaven? They're going to open the Lamb's Book of Life. And everyone's name who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to receive. It's a matter of life. Now, how do we relate to God today? And it brings us to our next point. We experience God in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And over in the Scripture, we find this phrase, in the Spirit. It says in Romans 8, 5 to 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So today, we fellowship with God after the Spirit. That's how you relate to God. That's how you receive from God. It's his life. The change in your life, in your behavior, is going to be a growth of Christ's life within. You're going to grow up in Christ. Christ is going to grow up in you and come to full stature. It's a spiritual growth. The Spirit is the life of God within you. It's not trying to conform your flesh to something. No, your flesh is being transformed because the Spirit of God is within you. I'm saddened when I see so much of the Christian world miss the power of the Spirit, the power of life. It becomes a religion. And really, religion in its worst form is trying to conform to all the things of life without having the life. It's a dead religion. It's dead works, the Scripture says. You're doing works. You're trying to do something good, but it's dead works. And it has no value and no benefit to us. So we have to experience God after the Spirit. Now, we experience people different ways. You know, you can read about someone, and you never met them, but you read about them. You can hear someone on the radio, but you've never met them. You can see someone on video, but you've never met them. But then you can see people from a distance, and they can be way far off. You might be in a stadium, someone's up, and you go, oh, someone's over there. That is, again, you're relating, you're learning about someone, but you're not really getting to know them. And then you can actually talk to someone. And you can converse, and you can get more knowledge of that person. And you can get so close that they would talk to you and begin to share things in your heart, and they might touch you and embrace you. That's a closer. But, you know, really, the experience with God is in the Spirit. He wants your spirit to come along. What if there was another person that it could actually, their mind could get in your mind and their heart get in your heart? We can't do that in the natural. There's a limitation. There's a separation. But here's the beautiful thing. As we become one with the Lord in the Spirit and other people become one with the Lord in the Spirit, then we have a unity of the Spirit. And you can actually get to know each other closer and better and intimately, because it's not just getting together, it's the joining of our spirits together. Again, I say, don't miss that. That's what it's all about. Now, you can experience God on different levels. You can experience God in creation. That's the things that he has created. You know, let me just first, there's a verse here in Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I don't have time to expand all this today, but anytime you see word in the Scripture, it's an expression of the Spirit. God is a Spirit. And when God expresses himself into time, space, it's called a word. He created the worlds by the word of God. He spoke it. And it was created. And so we can experience God by creation. It says we can even know God to a certain extent by creation, it tells us in Romans. because we see what he has done. And through our five senses, we can get a sense of the majesty and the vastness of God by studying the universe and the galaxy. It's just astounding when you get into those things. But we can know God through creation, but it's limited. We can know God because that word became the written word. He inspired people to write a written word. And that written word is, in a sense, called the Logos. That's a Greek word that's translated word to us, but it's a Logos. And so you can know God, and the entrance of this word is through our intellect. You read, your mind studies the truths in God's word, and it relates things to us. You can experience God through music, poetry. There's different ways you can experience. What is the entrance of that word into our life? Through our emotions. It stirs us in those ways. But they're all limited, just like seeing something, hearing something, talking to someone. There's another way of knowing God, and that is to know his spirit. In fact, the writer in the Bible says, if you knew Christ after the flesh, know him no longer after the flesh, but after the spirit. Can you imagine knowing Jesus after flesh? I mean, you actually saw him, you sat with him, you heard his voice. And Paul writes and he says, listen, if you happen to know him that way, don't know him that way anymore. But know him after the Spirit. Because when Jesus was ascending into heaven, he was going away physically, but he said, behold, I'm with you always to the ends of the earth. The Lord is here, but how is he here? By his Spirit. And so all these ways of knowing the Lord, they're expressions of God, but they're not the ultimate. And some churches can get stuck on one or others of these. And now these are good things. Some churches get stuck on the sense of the written word, and they want to study the word, and they're always talking about the Bible and principles and reading God's word. And, it's almost becomes the Godhead becomes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scripture. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It just means that they elevate the scriptures, and it is the word of God. It is the word of God. But that's not the ultimate. It's not just knowing certain things and knowing doctrines. Other people, they get other churches and people, they emphasize what we should do. It's sort of like the creation. Let's go out and help people. It's a missional aspect of knowing God. The poor need to be cared for. The hungry need to be fed. And we need to be involved. And all those things are right and good. But that's not the ultimate. That's not how God wants us to know him, just by doing good works. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, you can do some of these works. Give your body even to be burned and to give away all your things. But if you don't have love, it doesn't profit anything. We'll come back to that in a moment. My love is so important. Let me just tell you now. Because when you know God after the Spirit, the essence of that Spirit will put his love in your heart. The fruit of the Spirit is love. He'll put it in your heart. And so it's an action and activity that's coming out of the Spirit of God, knowing God after the Spirit. So, and then other churches, they're more emotional. And their whole matter is, of stirring the emotions. And there's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to have our emotions touched. It's not a matter of sitting back. I remember meeting with a group of pastors, and they were talking about how long they sing a song, a chorus. And one pastor, I was in this meeting. I'm not just a story. This happened to me. And one pastor said, well, we only sing it once. And we sing hymns. We try to get the truth of that hymn in our mind, and we sing it, and we worship the Lord in it. And another man said, well, we sing it two or three times, of course. Well, we don't sing it too much because we don't want to get our emotions. We just don't want to get emotional about things. And so we only sing it. And then they asked this other pastor, and they said, well, how long do you sing choruses? He says, we sing it till we're done with it. I smiled because that's how I grew up. You sing a song till you're done with it. It's not once, twice, it could be 20 times. You just sing it till you're done with it. It's a difference between, like I'm trying to say, we get hung up on things. But I tell you, here's what we need to be: a life-giving church. And I believe there's life-giving churches in every denomination. But it's to be a life-giving church, a spirit-giving church. We live in the Spirit. Our life is in the Spirit. The Spirit needs to be able to move. It needs to have entrance into our hearts. People need to be directed to the Spirit of God. All these other things are good. You can know about God and they all fill in around it. But the center aspect is life. Otherwise, you can have a beautiful mannequin all dressed up, but it doesn't have life. From a distance, you may not be able to tell the difference. Till you get close enough and you realize there's no life there. Looks good, has all the features, but there's no life. Have you met some Christians that way? And sadly, they don't know that there's something more. They think it's in the things they wear, how they've shaped their life. But folks, it's in the Spirit. And so we're coming all back to this point. If you live in the Spirit, I'm telling you, we need to live in the Spirit. So, here's your next point. Having the life of the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit's leading. Having the life of the Spirit, if you're alive in the Spirit, well, then you need to follow its leading. You need to walk in the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you step by step. If we have the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. Listen to how Galatians 5:25 in the Message version. I love it. We have chosen the life of the Spirit. Let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our head or a sentiment in our heart, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. This means walking it out. If you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. We have this Spirit. Don't just hold it as an idea in your mind that you tell other people about, or a sentiment that makes tears come to your eyes as you come to tell your story. But live in it. Walk in it. Be directed by it. There's a living and there's a walking. So I'm encouraging us today to walk in the Spirit. Now here's another verse. Same verse, Galatians 5:25 in the New Living Translation. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. How do you follow the Spirit? You have to use your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and your spiritual senses. Do you realize you have spiritual eyes? Yes, you're alive spiritually. If you're alive spiritually, you have spiritual eyes. Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying. They all had natural ears. They didn't have spirit. If you have spiritual ears, then use it. You have spiritual eyes, see it. You have spiritual perceptions. You need to use those spiritual perceptions. Don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Don't go by your natural feelings, your natural intellect, your natural responses. Let the Spirit of God guide and direct us. That's what Pastor Len was saying when he was talking about how he got started praying the prayer of Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. The very first part of that prayer is, may the eyes of my understanding be opened. Those are prayers that say, I want to have spiritual eyes open. I want to have spiritual ears open. I want to sense it. And you start praying the word. The word that's the Logos, you start praying it, but God's Spirit then quickens it and it becomes a rhema. And a rhema is another Greek word, but it's speaking about a living word. The Logos is the written word. It's more objective. A rhema is a living word. Sometimes you're reading the Logos and it jumps off the page and it becomes a rhema to your heart. And, oh, yeah, I see that. I didn't see that before. And sometimes it can come through a word of the Spirit where it's called the gifts of the Spirit, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Where now that which is in the Spirit is being imparted. And we experienced that this past week. And Pastor Len had tremendous insight. Coming out of the, you know, I sort of got a glimpse of how he has the giftings he has. All those months of morning and evening, walking, having the word in his pocket, saying, let the eyes of my understanding be opened. Yes. You know, let me see things. You know, this is what part we begin to pray that our spiritual eyes are open. Now, Jesus is our example. That's your next point. Jesus is our example in this. It says in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. Listen, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they're life. And so we're not just trying to do God's work in our flesh. Now, we have to harness our flesh, but it's done by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. We're not in the flesh, we're in the Spirit. And it says, goes on, Galatians, where are we here? John 5:19. Then Jesus answered, said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in the like manner. So Jesus is our example. He is God manifest in the flesh. But he says, I don't actually work out of my flesh. He says, I only say the things I hear the Father say. And I only do the things I see the Father do. He said, it's really not me, it's the Father, it's the Spirit working in him. Now, we're sons of God, daughters of God. That same function is within us. You're to move in this world, move, walk, express the life within you by the Spirit of God prompting you, speaking to you, spiritual eyes, spiritual ears. He's our example. We follow in his example. And so it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Now, here are some ways. I just put them down. You can fill them in as we go here this morning. What is one of the first ways what the Spirit does? Well, it's guidance. Yeah. Guidance. It says in John 14:17-20, the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you, he dwells with you, will be in you. Now, we're in the stage where he's in us. When Jesus spoke these words, the Holy Spirit wasn't given yet. So he says, he's now with you, he shall be in you. We're living where we've received the Spirit of God into our life. At that day, the day we're living right now, you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. There's this relationship through the Spirit that we've already spoken about. Unity with God in the Spirit. Unity with one another in the Spirit. There's this flow of, I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. This is a unity of Spirit. And so God directs us. And it says in John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Lord will guide you. Living words, rhema words that he speaks, maybe it jumps off the pages of the Logos, or it could be through a song that's being sung. Oh, it's just a song. No, there's a Spirit in this. And it becomes a rhema to you. Could be through a message you hear. It's not my words. I'm praying God will energize my word by the Spirit, that it could be a rhema. Would touch your heart. Might be a gift of the Spirit, as many of us experienced this week with Pastor Lynn, where there was a word given to you, a rhema word, that was quickening, refreshing in your heart and life. And so that guidance comes through this. Now here's the next one. Witness. Your witness. Well, this is quite obvious because it says in Acts 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. The very anointing and power of the Holy Spirit was to empower you to witness. You're not just having to go out on your own. You're relying on the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about this many times. You need to get up every morning and say, Lord, I want to walk in your Spirit today. I'm alive in your Spirit. Lord, I want to walk in your Spirit today. My walking's going to take me by people. Lord, there's divine encounters for me. Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Open my spiritual ears to be alert to what you want to do. And I've shared with you, sometimes a trigger, if you spend more than 2 or 3 minutes with a person, you need to ask the Lord, Is this a divine encounter? Is this something you want me to do? Is there a seed I'm to plant here? We can be oblivious. We can walk in the flesh, just be so conscious of the fleshly things that we're not aware of the spiritual things. That's why the Bible says if you live in the Spirit, if you're alive in the Spirit, if you're born again, then walk in it. Let Him guide you and direct you. And He will. The Spirit will give you keys to people's hearts. And I can't tell the whole story. It's too long. But just to some of you have heard it. But I was on a plane once, and the guy came on and was sitting next to me. He was so obnoxious. He was swearing. And he sat down beside me and told me the last time I was on a plane, I got kicked off. And I'm thinking, whoa. And then he says to me, you know, he said, when are they going to start serving the booze? He said, it relaxes me. And, you know, I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, this guy is everything opposite of me, you know. And, you know, but I'm sitting with him. I realize this is what I'm going to be sitting with him for an hour or two on this plane. And so we got talking about different things, he told me. And I prayed, said, Lord, give me the key to this man's heart. You love this man. You want this man. And I won't go into all the details, but he dropped something into my heart as he was talking, and I was to say it to him, and I said it in the exact words as it came to me. And it was about his wife being sick. He'd mentioned she was sick, and I said this to him. I tell you, it just opened. In that moment, he just opened. He was inquisitive. He was asking me all this stuff. And so much so that I was able to share the gospel with him. I found he was a professor in Calgary. That's where I was going. And I told him, you know, you need to find a church there and all of this. So much so that when we got off the plane, Kay and I were separated in that flight. But when we got off the plane to get our luggage, he came rushing up to me again. And I was able to introduce him to Kay. And it's like he just followed me around. Now, what was that? That was the power of the Holy Spirit powering us to be witnesses. Listen, people, even though they don't know it, they want to hear the Lord. They need to hear the gospel. There's something in them. You have an ally in every person's heart that you meet. They could be crusty on the outside, seem hard, seem indifferent. Just know in their heart it's longing to know God. And you say, God, help me. Let my spiritual eyes be open. Let my spiritual ears be open. Give me the key to this person's heart. And God will do it. See, he's just waiting for people to be the expression of his life. And we think it's so hard. It is if you're in the flesh. It is if you're doing it in your own intellect or your own emotions. But it is not if you're being led of the Spirit and you're just opening up and say, Lord, I'm living in your Spirit. Help me to walk in your Spirit here. He will help you to witness. Let me move quickly through this. Next one is worship. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody with your mouth. No. Making melody in your heart. And the melody in your heart comes out through your mouth. But it doesn't start with your mouth. It starts in your heart. It starts in your spirit. It can be a hymn. Could be something written down. Could be the scripture. But you're singing. And it's a spiritual song because you're bringing your life to it. This is what God wants. He wants us to worship in this way. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will sing with the Spirit. And that's why I enjoy the worship team. And it's Maurice's heart and the heart of the worship team, that they would worship with their heart and their spirit. And secondary is the musicians and the perfection of the songs, and we need to do things in excellence, and it will get better. But that's not the driving force. The driving force is the Spirit. And as Pastor Len said, the rawness of worship is attractive as you just simply open your heart and you share and you sing and you worship God, but it's coming from your heart. You are worshiping in your spirit, and it's coming forth. And you need, this is just thrown in, Don't let your body be a straitjacket to your spirit. And it can be. Your spirit's excited. Your spirit wants to worship. But you, if you just let your flesh, it'll just be stiff. I don't want to enter in. I don't want to raise my hand. You got to break that off. Say, Holy Spirit, come and flow. Let my physical body be an expression of my spirit. But let it start in your spirit. If it starts, I want to impress someone else. I want them to see my talent. Then it falls dead. It's the spiritual song that's going to ignite our heart in other people's heart. Let me go keep moving here. Next one's prayer. Prayer. It says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You're praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's not the many words. It says in Isaiah, the Lord will turn. He said, it's not in your words. It says, you know, you worship me with your mouth, but your heart is far from it. He wants us to pray in the Spirit. It says in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. One of the ways it says in 1 Corinthians 14 to pray in the Spirit is to pray in tongues and express it in this language that's a gift of the Spirit. It's a prayer language to pray in tongues. But I want you to know there's more ways to pray in the Spirit than praying in tongues. That is a way to pray in the Spirit. But it's not the only way to pray in the Spirit. It's to be motivated by the Spirit. Your heart is joined with God's heart. You see someone and you start praying for them. And that you're carrying their heart in your heart. You're carrying their burdens that they have in your heart. That is spiritual warfare. That is spiritual intercession. As you pray in the Spirit for people. You know, we were talking in the office this week, and this thought came to me as different ones were sharing. And we were talking about how prayer intercedes for someone that's a non-Christian. And when you pray for someone that's a non-Christian, how would our prayers be effective? Because we know they have to accept the Lord. How does our prayer help? And it just came to me in the sense that when we pray in the Spirit, you are carving a channel for the flow of God's grace to come to that person. Amen. Satan has put all kinds of barriers and mountains around people. He doesn't want them to sense the presence of the Lord. He wants to fill them with so many ideas and so many philosophies and so many things. And it's like God's talking to them, but it just seems to bounce off. It never gets to their heart. But prayer, yeah. Intercession. You begin to carve through that. You carve through the barrier. It's just like a river carving through the mountains. And it carves a channel. And you know where it brings the grace of God? Right to the door of their heart. Amen. Now, you can't go through the door of the heart because they have to open their heart. But you can pray and intercede that brings the grace of God right directly to their heart. And when the Lord knocks, they hear it. Now it's up to them to open. But your prayer has brought them to the point where they can feel God, sense God. Things are happening in their life that wouldn't have happened otherwise. You are praying. Doesn't that make you want to pray more? Pray more for people. Not just prayer, not empty prayers, not just words, but praying in the Spirit, asking God, show me how to pray. Let me pray. Praying in the gift of tongues. Being able to bypass your mind and pray. Let the Spirit pray through you. But again, I'm not limiting it to tongues. It's a praying in the Spirit. Moving in the Spirit. You know, I think that's why Saul, who became Paul, was saved. When the light struck him down on the road to Damascus, the voice said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. In other words, there were some things pricking him, bothering him. And he was fighting against it, but it was pricking him. When did that happen? I think it's when he stood and he watched Stephen be martyred. Yeah. And he's holding the clothes of the ones that's stoning him. He hears Stephen's prayer. Young man, probably about his age, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I think that prayer carved a way right to Saul's heart. And he opened his heart when the Lord revealed himself to him. I don't know how all these things work, but we know where to pray in the Spirit. Oh, let's go on to the last ones here. Ministry. We are to minister in the Spirit. It says in John 14:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. If you want to do ministry, it has to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's good efforts, but it just doesn't seem to be effective. So again, every morning you get up, say, Lord, I'm yours. Thank you. You've given me life. Oh, Lord, let me commune with you today in the Spirit. Open my spiritual eyes, spiritual ears. I'm going to be walking today. I'm going to be walking in this life. You're going to take me by past people and circumstances and situations. Help me to walk in the Spirit. I live in the Spirit. Help me to walk in the Spirit. It says in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. Flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. Every word Jesus spoke was Spirit and life. What if every word we spoke, we were walking in the Spirit? Every word you spoke was Spirit and life. Spirit and life. We're just a dispenser of God's words. It's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. I'm just a dispenser of life-giving words. But I think you have to walk and you have to live in the Spirit to be able to walk in the Spirit. We're getting to the end here. The balance of Spirit and truth, or reality. There is a balance between Spirit and truth. And I'm using the word truth here as what's real. Listen to what it says in John 4:23. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So I believe there's an aspect of this where he wants you to experience the Spirit in your life, but he wants you to walk it out in reality. There's the experience of the life of God, you and the Lord together in the Spirit. But you have to walk it out. You're in a natural world. You're walking through this world, and you need to walk in the Spirit. He wants you to worship him in spirit, but then in the reality of walking it out day by day. Now listen, here, that brings us to our last point. Transcendent experiences are to empower our walk. Transcendent experiences are to empower our walk. Now what do I mean by a transcendent experience? That's what we experienced last week. Transcendent experiences are beyond the normal. It's beyond the natural. It transcends what you could imagine or think. This is spiritual. This is unusual. This is from God. And wow, we had a tremendous week of night after night experiencing the Spirit of God and God using Pastor Lynn in the giftings he has to impart to us things that, you know, he wouldn't know that. You know, that prayer, man, that changed my life. And leading us into realms where we had visions and experiences, transcendent experiences in the presence of the Lord. They're powerful experiences. I look back in my life and I can trace them. In fact, I won't go through them here, but as I was preparing this message, just for my own experience, I just jotted down, there's about 12 times in my life that were just really powerful, transcendent experiences where I knew I met God. He spoke to me. It was beyond a doubt. Just powerful experiences. But Why does God give them to us? It's to empower our walk. Listen to what it says in Matthew 17, 1 to 3. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. What a transcendent experience. I mean, they saw Jesus transfigured. What was in the essence of his being was coming forward and actually transfiguring his physical body, even his clothes. It was a fantastic. All the Gospels record this incident. It was so powerful in all of them. Listen to what Peter says. Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." Oh man, what's it? "Lord, it's so good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Let's just settle down. Let's just stay here. Let's just stay up on this mountain. Let's just enjoy this." It was. That's what happens. That's what is elicited within us. But if you read on in the portion, the Lord says, "We're going to go down from the mountain." And he now suddenly returns so they could look at him. And yeah, that is his robe. But they had a transcendent experience. But they were to walk it out. And you can't perpetually stay in those experiences. In the Bible, men of God didn't. They had those experiences, but they couldn't stay there. You know what they had to do? Walk by faith. That motivated, that encouraged them. But there are days you're going to go through and you're just sort of hanging on. You're going to be hard pressed, but you're not going to be crushed. There's days you're going to be perplexed, but you're not going to go to, why don't you go to despair? Why don't you go and be crushed? Because you know God is real. His life is there. You've experienced it. You remind yourself of it. And you're stirring that life within. It doesn't mean that every day of your life is going to be a miracle. But it is a miracle if you walk with God. It's not always the way you see. We want to stay on the mountaintop. That's why I think this message the Lord wants us to hear today is that we've had a tremendous week. But as I heard one man say, we got to come down from mountaintop experiences. Doesn't mean we leave God. It means he's with us. Now you're walking by faith and you're walking it out. And you're seeing the miracles happen in the lives of others around because you're walking it out. And then you're renewing yourself and you're living in the Spirit. And those times come. Sometimes they come unexpected. Sometimes you seek them out. But God knows what we need and he'll meet you in a transcendent way. And we've heard testimonies of it here. There's this thing about Eric talking last week about how finding a piece of paper and a scripture on it, exactly what he wants. That's a transcendent experience. I mean, that is just something that's marvelous. But you know, if you could just snap your fingers and that happened time, there'd be no faith. But we walk by faith. It's a worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And God will use us mightily for his glory. Amen, amen. Let's stand together this morning. I wonder if there's someone here today, you've listened to this message, and something inside you says, you know, I've never experienced that life. I grew up in the church, I prayed, gone to church, but never really experienced that life. I want you to know this is a day for you. This morning's for you. See, I can't give it to you. John 3 says, you know, it's this being born again is like the wind. You don't know where it's going. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. All we can do is position people and introduce them to the Lord, as we said a few weeks back. You just position people. And I want to do that this morning in a prayer. I just want to bring you, if you have an open heart and you're here and you say, or you're saying, you know what? I want more of that life. I've drifted away from it. I need a renewing of the Holy Spirit in my life, a new dependence upon the Lord. You know, that's just position ourselves this morning, because the Lord's here. He wants to move. He wants to empower us. He wants us to live in the Spirit. So if you desire this, would you just raise your hand? If you just hunger for the Holy Spirit, maybe you're raising it for the first time, saying, Lord, I'm receiving this life for the first time. Or you're just being renewed in your heart. Lord, we lift our hands this day. We lift our hands to say, Lord, we need you. Without you, we can do nothing. We want to experience this power of your Holy Spirit. We want to be born again. We want the renewal of your Holy Spirit in our life. We want to experience all the things we've talked about today in this word. We want to see you move and use us as instruments to touch this world. Lord, we open ourselves. We raise our hands. Come right now. May the breath of the Holy Spirit just move across this place. Would you just flow into people's lives, Lord? Quicken our hearts. Quicken our minds. Lord, we open our hearts to you right now. Do what we can't do, Lord. Move by your Holy Spirit. May it happen in the name of Jesus. May it happen in the name of Jesus, right now in this moment. Renew us. Jesus' name. So Lord, as we leave this place, we just receive this. And now, Lord, I ask you to help us to walk in your Spirit. Be alert to all your leadings. May we worship, pray, sing, worship, witness, testify. Everything we do, may we do it in the Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said,